This is what the Lord told me in advance to release prophetically to you. Those of you in here, those of you watching live and on a replay. He said that he's been speaking to some of you and wants you to pay very close attention to the words and the phrases that he's using in the conversation. He is very particular about the word choices that he is using. And just like authors in the natural, he's intentional about transition words that he's speaking to you as he's speaking to you. Some of you right now are in a season where you are living in the space of a transition word. Some of you are in an also. Some of you are in a therefore. Some of you are in a consequently. Some of you are living in a space of a conjunction where two ideas are being combined into one. Some of you are living in a space of an and. You did this and now this. Some are living in the space of an or, where you're going to have to choose this or this. And some of you are living in a but. Something was said, but God. And everything previously that was said and done was canceled out by the conjunction that the Lord spoke. So there is a but God for some of you, and you are living in that space. You may have experienced this, but God. Someone said something like this, but God. This happened, but God. And so be very careful as to how you hear and what you are hearing in this season, so that you don't misinterpret what he's saying and think he's saying something that he isn't saying because of the degree of care that needs to be taken as we pay attention to the phrases and the words he has said. Amen. Hallelujah. So today I have the honor of sharing with you about the power of covenant. For the past couple of weeks, the Lord has been dealing with me about the power of covenant and really just the reality that we are in covenant, which is the closest type of relationship that God has instituted, and we're in it with him. He's not just with us. He's living in us, on us, and through us. And everything that happens to us is happening to Jesus. That's how close we are with him. The scripture says our life is hidden in Christ, in God. So, turn to Exodus 34. Because today I really want to just help you. I only have one point to the message today. And that is that you leave with a fresh revelation that you are in covenant relationship with God. And we know there are multiple benefits of the covenant: healing, peace, prosperity, all of those things. But I want you to recognize that because you are in covenant with God, divine intervention has to and is bound to happen for you. And miracles happen through you because of your covenant. Now, I'm very particular in explaining the difference because miracles are what we perform as a believer. So when you hear me say I'm believing for a miracle, I'm not believing for something to happen for me. I'm believing for what God is going to do through me. Divine intervention is the benefit of the covenant where God demonstrates his power because we're in relationship. And so I'm very clear on the two because the miraculous is what we point to, that what we do that points people to Jesus. Because I'm walking with Jesus, he doesn't have to do anything to point me to him. I'm just walking with him. I'm co-laboring with him. And so that's why I use that terminology, because here's the thing. Many people are believing for a miracle in their lives, but God is inviting us to shift our perspective and attach our faith to the benefits of covenant. There are some things you don't have to ask God for or pray for when you recognize it's already available because of the covenant. And because it's available, the question is, what is required of me in order to see this thing become my reality? You guys tracking with me? Okay, so in Exodus 34, we're going to look at verse 10. Thank you, Jesus. Exodus 34, verse 10. It says this. Then God said, now this is a conversation. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. This is a conversation. We pick up on a conversation between God and Moses. Moses had just asked God, he said, look, how will I know who's going to go with us? Because God was talking about sending an angel that would take them into their promise. And then God says, you know what? My presence is going to go with you, and I'm going to give you rest. And then Moses said, we are only distinguished, or we have distinction, because your presence is with us. Our covenant with God gives us distinction among anybody else and anywhere else. You may be wondering why you are standing out, some of the young ones, especially in school. Or you may wonder why you're standing out on your job, where it seems like people always see what you do. It's because you are a person of distinction because you're in covenant. And when people see you, they're seeing the presence of the Almighty God. Even though they can't articulate what they see, they just say, it's something different. But what it is the presence of Holy Spirit on you. And when you spend time in that secret place with him, you can't help but leave with glory on you. So this is part of the conversation where we pick up with God and Moses. And then God says something. Everything God says is profound, but this was really like mind blowing right here. In Exodus 34 and 10, it says, then God said, behold, I'm going to make a covenant. So God who spoke and created everything, the God who has no beginning, no creator, because he is the creator, he created everything. He not only created the natural realm, he created the spiritual realm, which we don't even see. See, a lot of people recognize, think that the spiritual realm was always there. It was created by God. That's why it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So this God says, you know what? I'm going to make an agreement with you. I'm going to make a contract with you. It says, before all your people, I will perform miracles. So this covenant is one where God says, look, in front of everybody, I'm going to perform miracles. I'm not going to do it in the background for you to tell people about it. I'm going to do it where it's going to be out in the open, where people will see the demonstration of his power. So when we're talking about maximum kingdom manifestation, you got to know some stuff is not going to happen behind closed doors. Some stuff is not going to happen in private, and then they see you, they hear about it because you posted it on social media, you know, with a selfie and all of that stuff. They're going to plainly see the demonstration of the power of God in real time. Say real time. This is part of the covenant, is that the power of God will be demonstrated in your life and through your life in real time. He said, before all your people, I will perform miracles which have not been produced in all the earth, nor among any of the nations. Say, greater works. See, sometimes we wonder, is this a demon? Is it not? Because we see something. But God, he said in multiple places that he's going to do something that hasn't been performed before in the earth. And the frame of reference we have is our connection with Holy Spirit to discern is him, and then he will show us an example in Scripture. But notice the weightiness of what that says. Because Moses grew up in the house of Pharaoh in Egypt. He didn't grow up as a slave. Moses saw the magicians of Egypt doing their thing. Moses saw those spirits, and I'm just going to flat out call them demons, because I don't even call them gods, because they're not even worthy to get that title. There's only one God, and he's our God. So these spirits that presented themselves and did demonstrations were worshipped all throughout Egypt. They're finding artifacts still now of images they built of these spirits. Their mythology, well, you know how in school you study Egyptian mythology, that was their practice of worship to these demons. It wasn't fiction. It was their interaction with these spirits. So Moses, as a baby, grows up in this environment seeing the magicians do their thing, seeing these demons manifest and respond, seeing them being able to perform certain type of things, which is why, in order to even get their respect, Moses had to perform something in front of them. God didn't send him to just talk. He sent him to demonstrate the kingdom. Just like today, because we're dealing with a generation that doesn't know God nor his power, we can't come with just talk. They've seen believers shout and run around churches. They've heard good music that talks about Jesus, but it's now is the season for demonstrating the power of Jesus. And so Moses is probably thinking, man, I saw some stuff before. And God is saying, look, I'm going to produce something that hasn't been produced before in front of everybody. And he said, all the people among whom you live will see the working of the Lord. See, our lives being a testimony is not just about us talking a thing, but is living a thing and demonstrating the power behind the life of the thing. See, there are people who are unbelievers who are good people, who we would classify as a good person. There are people who are generous who are unbelievers, but they can't demonstrate the power of God because they're not in covenant. And so our covenant puts us in position to demonstrate his power in these different areas of influence. Because religion will make you think that you have to come to a worship setting before you can experience and demonstrate the power of God. When the kingdom says, I'm going to place you in these specific places and your power is going to be demonstrated everywhere. Say everywhere. And then it says they're going to see it. And then it says, for it is a fearful thing that I'm going to perform with you. Notice say with you. With you. Not with someone with a title. With you. With those who are in covenant. Say covenant. And notice it said it's a fearful thing. See, I firmly believe that we've entered already into a season, even though we're not seeing the full manifestation of it yet. But we're in this season where the fear of the Lord is returning to the earth. See, the fear of the Lord kind of wasn't like really as strong before, partially because people dealing with their stuff didn't allow God to help them deal with their stuff. So it looked like they were living a double life. And then folks looking at unbelievers or looking at believers, calling them hypocrites. But everybody got stuff they're working through. And everybody has to submit their stuff to God. And everybody has to allow God to perfect and mature them. And everybody has to submit to the maturing process. Now, if a person doesn't submit, that's between them and Jesus, and they need to get that together. But there are people walking in power and maturity who live this thing for real. And those are the ones who keep the charge, like Apostle was talking about in Ezekiel 44, that minister before him, not just the people. See, many people have seen people minister before people, but not even touch the heart of God. But now we're in this time where there are more and more people touching the heart of God, minister before him, and from that place minister towards the people. But Ezekiel 44 says this too, because it contains the assignment the Lord gave me when I was 18 years old. Those who were able to keep, those who kept the charge, God said they will be the ones that help people understand the difference between the clean and the unclean, the holy and the unholy. See, only those who are walking closely with Jesus can discern, can help people learn. They can discern, but then help people learn the difference. Because there is a power that is placed upon their life because of covenant. See, accepting Jesus is not about, do I just go to a church or a fellowship? Accepting Jesus is about walking out this covenant relationship. And it's about how deep do you want to go with him? Because some folks, they okay with going to heaven, loving people. Other folks, I'm going to go to heaven, I'm going to love people, and I'm going to disciple somebody. There's levels and dimensions that you can go. So I get provoked when someone asks me a question and I didn't know the question before they asked it, because I know that's a level I can go. Now, that may sound kind of weird to you, but I'm like, look, God reveals the hearts of men. Jesus knew the hearts of the Pharisees. He knew their thoughts. The scripture said it a couple times. And I'm like, okay, I'm not walking there yet, so there's deeper places for me to go. So when somebody calls me with a question, I not only can tell them their question, but I can tell them the answer from the Lord. See, what's the point of having a prophetic gift if you don't prophesy and give somebody a solution? If you tell them to go pray, they don't need to come to a prophet for a prophet to tell them to go pray. Just saying. So, but check this out. So in that passage, God said he's going to do something that has never been done before in front of everybody. And he made a covenant to do it. Are we yielding to God to the point where he could demonstrate his power in a way that's never been done before? And then that word, let's break down that word miracles. Can we go deeper? Can we go deeper? So that King James translates that as marvels, but it also means miracles. And it's a Hebrew word, pala, which means to distinguish. So part of being a person of distinction is the signs and the wonders that God would do through you. It also means, it implies to make great. Where did we hear that before? In Genesis 12, when God told Abraham, he said, I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, and I will make your name great. But then he also said this to Abraham in Genesis 12 and 3. He said, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. See, we remember the blessing part, being made a great nation, but look at the extent of covenant. He said, anyone who does something good to you, they in turn are going to receive something good from God. Anyone who tries to oppose you and curse you, the Bible says, and the one who curses you, I will curse. I'm going to just let that sit right there. Because a lot of times we think, well, cursing is bad. Cursing is, witches do curses. They do these word curses. Yeah, they do, which have no power because they operate in a dimension lower than you. Because you're seated with Christ in the heavenly places far above every principality, power, and name that could be named. So why fool with the stuff that's beneath you? Why be distracted by the things that are beneath you? That's why I tell people the devil can't hear your prayer. And I remember doing a teaching on that weeks ago, and people was like, well, what do you mean? He can't. How can the devil hear what you say to God when your life is hidden in Christ with God, seated in heavenly places, far above? Your conversation is classified. Like that movie Rush Hour, G14 classified. So, but what he does do is respond to your prayer. He sees what happens in the realm of the spirit because you prayed. He sees the angelic movement. He sees things happening because you prayed. Now, when you make a declaration, that's different because you're not talking to God in a declaration. You're releasing something in the atmosphere. Or if you say an idle word, that's different. But when you are specifically talking to our Father, he can't hear that. He does not have access to be at the right hand of God with you and Jesus to hear what you're saying. And so this word miracle also refers to doing something extraordinary, causing us to be great. Causing us, this is the degree of covenant that God has. He says, I'm going to make an agreement with you that you're going to do something extraordinary. So all the people who tried to tell you you wasn't going to be nothing or do nothing, or all the people who's trying to tell you you can't do this, you can't do that, they don't know the covenant that you have with God. Because his agreement is that you are going to do something extraordinary. And you're going to do something that no one else could do. Nothing that has been performed in the earth before because of your relationship with God. You guys following me? This is why in the book of Acts, turn to Joshua 10. Or go to your Joshua 10 in your device. But this is why in the book of Acts, when Paul was on the road to Damascus, and Jesus appeared and he had that encounter. This is why Jesus was very particular when he said, why are you persecuting me? He didn't say, why are you persecuting my people? Why are you persecuting my apostles? Why are you persecuting my church, my body? Why are you persecuting the believers? He didn't say that. He said, why are you persecuting me? Because of covenant. So when something tries to attack you, God is looking at it as something trying to attack him. And he's going to respond accordingly. And he has already responded. We just walk out what that response is. Because it's not like God taken by surprise. This is why when we walk with God, we need to have this greater confidence of covenant. In Joshua chapter 10, Joshua finds himself in a fight that wasn't even his. He's in this fight, but it accelerates the fulfillment of his purposes and destiny. He's in this fight because this nation tricked him into making a covenant. But we're going to see how much God values covenant, and we're going to see the benefits. In Joshua 10, which is very interesting chapter, we see three supernatural demonstrations of the power of God in the same day. I will say in the same 24-hour period, but one of those demonstrations was time stopping. So whatever that time period was, it was three of them at least, because Joshua's covenant with God. And see, the Gibeonites, they tried to hustle Joshua by pretending they were from a far nation so that they could be in covenant and wouldn't be destroyed, because they recognized, if I get in covenant with Joshua and Israel, then by second nature I'm in covenant with God. See, people who are connected to you will benefit from your covenant relationship with God. Your children benefit from your relationship with God. Their children will benefit from your relationship with God. Your cousins, your uncles benefit from your relationship with God. Your friends that don't even know Jesus yet benefit from the fact that you are in covenant with God. This is why we have to be careful who we get in covenant with. We can't get in any entanglements. We can be around people, we can get to know people, but when it talks about covenant, we have to be very careful. Because we not only, when you enter into a covenant with a person, you enter into a covenant with the spirit they submit to. So this is why when we are in covenant, people connect with us, they actually enter into a, they become a beneficiary of the spirit, the Holy Spirit that we submit to. This is why I watch who I'm in covenant with. I watch my circles very closely. I watch that. I'm even careful who I do business with. When people want to do business with me, I'm like, okay, Jesus, is this the one? Right. Or should I look for another? Because these things are part of covenant. Business relationships are covenant relationships. Contracts are covenants. It's just a new word for covenant. This is why, I'm just telling y'all, if you single and you're looking to get married, this is why you got to be careful who you choosing. Somebody could love Jesus, but that don't mean they're the right one for you, and that don't mean that your purposes and destiny are in alignment. You can't just find somebody in the house of God because they fine and they love Jesus and think you're supposed to be in covenant. You can have a different kind of covenant relationship as a brother, as a sister, as a friend, but that kind of covenant has to be for someone who's in alignment with your purposes and destiny that's going to help carry the weight, not add weight. Someone who can handle the discipline that you have to walk out your destiny. Instead of making you explain every time you got to go to the secret place, they in the secret place with you. So I'm just saying, you got to be careful. And that's why people will be attracted to you and want to get in covenant with you because of the glory of God on your life. They will want to connect with you and want to pervert and use your gift for their to accomplish their thing. So that's what this nation did to Joshua. And so Joshua enters into this covenant and finds out, wait, you tricked me. You hoodwinked me. He was like, but you're going to be our servants as a result. And that nation was so worried about being destroyed, they were like, cool, we'll just be your servant. They were happy about it. But now five other kings, they say, wait a minute, this nation that just made a covenant with Israel was greater than the city of Ai and Jericho who fell. It was like, now they're in covenant, so let's attack them. So these five kings attack this other city, the Gibeons, because they made a covenant with Israel. And now word comes back to Joshua, and Joshua now is in the fight because he's in covenant with somebody. You ever get pulled into some stuff because somebody you know got into some stuff? It's like, I ain't even do nothing, but now I'm in the middle of some beef. So now we see in verse 7 says Joshua went up. In verse 8 it says, the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands, and not one of them shall stand before you. So know that even in the challenges you're facing, don't be afraid. Because not one thing is going to stand before you, because God has given everything that's opposing you into your hand. It says, so Joshua came upon them suddenly by marching all night from Gilgal. So them folks didn't even take a break. They was like, we're going to go. We're going to handle this. Now look at verse 10. It says, and the Lord confounded them before Israel. What did the Lord do? He confounded them. So the first supernatural sign that God did to confirm covenant with Joshua is he caused the enemies to get confused. That word confounded talks about confusion, frustration, being perplexed. You ever wonder why the folks trying to come against you all of a sudden get hit with confusion? is because they got confounded. And then it says, and he slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. Wait a minute, who is the he? Who is the he? Yeah, let's deep dive this. It says, and the Lord confounded them before Israel, and he slew them. It didn't say Joshua slew them. It didn't say Israel slew them. It said he. So God brought confusion, and then he slew some folks. Thank God for grace. Man, because in the Old Testament, it was no joke. So he confounded the enemies. He slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and pursued them by the way of the ascent of Beth Horon and struck them as far as Azekiah and Makeda. Not only did they get confounded and slain, they got chased down. Then look at this, verse 11. It says, and they fled before Israel while they were at the descent of Beth Horon. The Lord threw large stones from heaven on them. Now, these enemies not only got confused and were slain, they started running to escape. And it says, the Lord, it didn't say the people were doing the slingshots. Or the, you know, the other things, the catapults. It didn't say the skilled archers got them. It said the Lord started throwing stones from heaven. How do you dodge a stone coming from heaven? It's like a meteor, what scientists today would call a meteor shower. It was like a meteor shower in one specific area hitting specific people. So the people of Israel wasn't getting hit. The enemies were getting hit. See, sometimes when you see, I'm going to just leave that alone. I'm going to just stop. Just know that as God is fighting for you and as he is enforcing his covenant, people might get hit with something that you don't get hit with. Amen. Yep. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Now, by his grace, it's to bring them to repentance, but if they choose not to, they're going to just keep taking hits. And then it says, He threw large stones from heaven on them as far as Azekiah or Azekah, and they died. It says there were more who died from the hailstones than those whom the sons of Israel killed with the sword. We see covenant, right? And we're seeing signs that hadn't happened before up to that point. Now, because that's happened before, we're going to see signs even beyond that. Look at verse 12. It says, then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, O sun, stand still at Gibeon, and O moon in the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped. Now check this out. Joshua, having experience in war, he knew that once it became nightfall, because streetlights and all of that weren't invented at the time, them dudes was going to escape. And Joshua's position was, God, do something supernatural so we can bring finality to this matter. So right now, whatever it is, because this is mainly to encourage and ignite you. So whatever it is that you're facing in this moment, don't be so quick to jump out of it. Say, Lord, do something supernatural so that we bring finality to this matter. So that the Egyptians we saw today, we will see no more. So that the issue we're dealing with today, we'll deal with no more. I'm telling you today, this is a time for the demonstration of his power to bring finality. No more cycles. You fought this season, then that enemy came back 6 months later, then 6 months later, like a cycle, like a seasonal demon coming. God is going to have you deal with this thing in finality, and that's it. So, but we also see that he had the confidence to ask, to pray that prayer and make that declaration because of his relationship. See, prior to this, when you look back, even in Exodus, when we talked about the distinction, when God said he would make that covenant in Exodus 34, prior to that, it talks about the tent of the meeting. and how the glory of God will come upon the tent, and everybody will come out and see the glory. Some people will worship at their tent, but Moses and Joshua will go in. And it was, and it said that when Moses would come out from speaking to the Lord face to face, Joshua would stay there. So Joshua was one who was always in the secret place of the Lord. But out of that place is where he made this prayer. Because if he was one that didn't come close, he wouldn't have even thought to ask that. See, the closer you are with Jesus, the more you recognize nothing is impossible. And I can ask for things that seem to be impossible and you would do it because you can do any and everything. The word impossible is not in God's vocabulary. Man made that word. So, but we also see this. Because let me say it this way. If you prayed for the sun to stand still, it wouldn't work now. Joshua prayed according to his level of revelation. It had not been revealed through science or any other way that the earth rotates around the sun. During that time, their level of understanding was that everything rotated around the earth. And so God, out of relationship, understood what Joshua meant, because he was saying, you just want me to stop time, don't you? I got you. But if you prayed and said, sun stand still, Holy Spirit's going to say, it's already standing still. Can you pray for something else? See, sometimes people are praying for something that's already done and asking why and wondering why they're not seeing results. But they're praying for a completed thing. This is why, and I said this in a couple of different places, and in the Ayers Academy and in Supernatural Saturday School. This is why when I pray for people to be healed, I don't ask God to heal. I don't do that because he's already done it. The scripture said that he was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, we were healed. That's what it says in 2 Peter. Isaiah said "are" because Isaiah was tapping into something that was in eternity based on his relationship with God and pulling it into time. Peter says "were" because it already manifested in time through the work of the cross. And so now when I pray for somebody, I don't say God heal them. What I do is I use the authority that God has given me and I release the healing power of God over them. Because he's already healed, and the covenant says we have a right to healing, so I'm just the instrument, and I'm releasing that covenant right into the body of the person I'm praying for. So when you're praying, make sure you don't pray for something that's already done. You release what's already done, but you pray for something that has never been done before. Then it says this. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped. So God stopped time. Now, all of this is in the same time period. We see him bringing confusion. We see him slaying. We see him throwing rocks from heaven and stopping time. So literally, the earth and the moon stopped so Joshua and Israel can bring finality to that matter. Now, if he will stop time for them, what do you think he would do for you under a new and better covenant in the blood of Jesus? This was a covenant through the blood of animals, which was a shadow of the covenant we have with Jesus. And if since he gave Jesus, what do you think he would do for you supernaturally to enforce that better covenant? It says, the rest of verse 13 says this, so the sun stood still and the moon stopped, until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jashar, and the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day? So there was a 24-hour period that they were tracking that time stopped. And it says, there was no day like that before it or after it when the Lord listened to the voice of a man for the Lord fought for Israel. Now, the rest of that chapter gets real deep because the kings of those different cities, they ran and hid. They saw what God was doing. They was like, I'm out. They ran and hid in a cave, and they found him. Joshua went and found him and had his people put his foot on their necks. So know that nothing can escape you. As you deal with whatever the challenges you're facing, as God moves supernaturally to bring finality, nothing is going to escape. Not one detail of it is going to escape. So here's the main point, because I got a lot more, but I'm going to stop right here. I sense a presence. Because I'm telling you, I know Apostle knows, you can tell when you're releasing the word, you can tell Holy Spirit be like, right here is a good place. It's like a place of hovering. It's like the cloud is hovering. And so I sense that in this moment. Because I know God is going to begin to speak with you even after this about how seriously you take your covenant with him. So I'm going to ask you this question. Because remember, we just read an entire chapter where God moves supernaturally time after time after time within the same time period because of his covenant with Joshua. This nation, or this city, this group of people, Gibeon, they were beneficiaries of the supernatural demonstration of God's covenant because they were in covenant with Joshua. They didn't know God like that. But because they were in covenant with Joshua, they benefited from God enforcing his covenant for them. So, in this moment, what are you discerning that needs to happen in this season, whether it be naturally or supernaturally, in order to bring finality to a matter that you are dealing with? You may have been dealing with something for years and thinking that's just the way it is. Well, Tupac may have made that song saying that's just the way it is, but God didn't say that. You may have been dealing with something cycle that's coming like in cycles. I remember for a long time, I dealt with something that would happen a particular season every year. I would deal with it for like 90 days, and then boom, gone. Then the next year, same thing. You may be dealing with a seasonal spirit, but it ends today. You may have been dealing with something generationally. You know, some people call them generational curses and all of that, which are a real thing, but some stuff is a generational tendency. Some things have been passed down through the DNA and tendencies that our parents, grandparents, and, you know, folks way back when whom we have to look on an old document to figure out who their name is. I mean, some of them may have done some stuff and allow some stuff to be a part of them that was passed through the DNA. And you may be wondering, why am I dealing with this or why am I dealing with that? But it's time for that to be broken too. There may have been generational weaknesses, generational tendencies, but all of that is broken. God is bringing finality. And there are new things being established. I hear this prophetically. There are new things being established with you and from that point on in your family line because there's things being broken. Hallelujah. So what are you discerning that needs to happen in this season, naturally and supernaturally, in order to bring finality to a matter that you are facing? Because this is the time of maximum kingdom manifestation. In order to allow God to get the maximum glory out of your life, some things have to come to completion. And I want you to know it is not beyond God. It's not beyond his scope or power to perform the supernatural to do divine intervention on your behalf because of his covenant. He actually agreed to it. And when you assess the situation that you're facing, remember his covenant. When you accept the challenge that that situation presents, remember his covenant. And when you actively engage in the matter, remember his what? His covenant. Because it's not just you that are that's facing this thing. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's Jesus, Karima. It's Jesus. It's not just you. Hallelujah. You don't have to even figure it out. You just have to listen. Because it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's just Jesus, Kelvin. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your covenant.
Yes, God.
God, we thank you that you made a better covenant with us than you made with Joshua. And because of your covenant, you said that you will perform miracles and signs that have never been done in the earth and cannot be reproduced. So we thank you, God, for the supernatural power of your kingdom being our reality. And in everything that we may face or every situation we may encounter as we are walking our purpose and destiny with you, we do so from the place of covenant. God, even decisions we have made that might have been a mistake, but God, we thank you that you correct those because of covenant. God, I thank you because you love us. You do beyond what natural men can do, natural people can do. You do beyond what the experts do because you are all powerful. And God, we thank you that that power is available to us right now and being executed in our lives because of your covenant.
Yes.
So we believe and we know that all things are possible. And just like Gabriel told Mary that nothing is impossible with you. And so we won't say how we want you to bring solution in our lives. We won't tell you, God, do it this way or do it that way. We just thank you for the result in advance.
Thank you, Father.
We thank you for the result in advance. We thank you for the results in advance. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Would you thank the Lord?
Hallelujah.
Pastor Jamal, come on, thank the Lord. Our God, he's a covenant-keeping God. He's a covenant-keeping God. And I'm grateful that he honors his covenant, even when we are not honoring our part. A couple things I want to share with you, and then I want to give invitation for salvation, and then close out our time. There are some times when I hear something and I feel the need to bring clarity to it, and there's a couple things that I want to just share real quickly. You do need to know that when you pray, you got to recognize the enemy is listening. The only prayer that's classified is praying in the spirit. That's the only time he can't understand. That's why the Bible talks about death and life is in the power of the tongue. Because when you speak, it isn't just those in the natural who hear it. As a matter of fact, I made this statement long time ago based on the passage of scripture where Jesus comes into the temple, comes into the synagogue, and He picks up the scroll and he reads from Isaiah 60. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel. And he basically reads his job description. I've come to set the captive free, you know, give beauty for ashes. He reads all of that. And then it says, he closed the book and he set it down. And there started to be a grumble amongst the people. I believe it was heard in three realms. I believe it was heard in the natural, the people there looking at each other. Did you hear what he just said? I also believe in the realm of the demonic, that they heard it and said, do you hear what he said? And simultaneously, at the same time, it was heard in the heavens. When all of heaven stood to attention and said, do you hear what he said? The reason why it's important for us to grab a hold of this is your greatest power in prayer is praying in the Spirit. In Romans, it talks about praying in the Spirit, praying prayers and groanings that we know not to pray. It is through that place that you're able to pray the heart of the Father. So I feel the need. I want to bring clarity to that, because here's where you want to watch your words. That's why sometimes you don't want to disclose certain things too soon. You remember in the book of Daniel where Daniel prayed? And Daniel prayed, and it says it was 21 days later. That's where we get our 21-day fast from. 21 days later, the angel shows up. And what does the angel say? The moment you prayed, it was heard. But I've been in a battle for the last 21 days getting the answer to you. I just need to bring clarity to that. I love my son. I love his preaching. I love his teaching. But I want to make sure, because sometimes we say things in the moment and we need to kind of go back and look at it, listen to it again. The other thing I want to say to you is this. The redemptive work of Calvary is a very complete work. It is the conclusion of the matter. What you and I are doing as we live out our lives is what Jesus spoke in the scriptures. When he says, now, I give you power. I give you authority. Go into the world and make disciples of men. He says, these signs shall follow them that believe. They will lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. They will cast out demons. They will speak in unknown or new tongues. All of that is a part of the covenant. As a matter of fact, when we read there in Matthew and it says, And the Lord worked with them through signs and wonders and miracles. That's the covenant. You and I, we act, we move in our faith, and God himself co-signs that thing and brings about the manifestation of it. And so when you're praying for someone believing for healing, they are a believer. That's part of the key now, okay? And they have covenant rights. What you want to pray is for the manifestation of healing. Yes. Are you listening to me? Yes. So words do matter. So you don't necessarily, you know, maybe you say, well, I don't want to ask for healing because we already have healing. No, you want to pray and ask for the manifestation of that healing. Exactly. Are you listening to me? Okay, it's these small things that are going to make the difference, particularly in the times in which we live now.